Sermon, Clear the King's Highway, Berkeley, California, February 16, 1907. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Exodus 19, verse 1-4. These words are written for us, as truly as they were for the children of Israel. God must bring each one of us to himself before he can work through us in the great work of preparing a people to stand in the day of the Lord. It is our individual duty to understand what God means and to do whatever he bids us. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Verses 5-8. The Lord told Moses to sanctify the people, because he was coming near to them. He requires of his people today that they shall stand as a separate and distinct people, free from all worldly influences. They are to be a peculiar people unto the Lord. And then he gave them his commandments, promising them life if they would keep the commandments. And we, if we obey them, shall find an entrance into the kingdom of our God, where we shall continue to observe the law of God. Let no one dare to trifle with the commandments of God. In the past few months, during and since the camp meeting, I have spoken several times to our brethren and sisters in Oakland. The Lord has greatly strengthened me, and has given me a message for his people. But I must tell you today, brethren and sisters, that you have lost a rich and valuable experience, because you have not carried out the word of the Lord. If you had carried out the words of the Lord, and had humbled your hearts before him, you would today be far in advance of where you are standing. He presented before you a picture of what he would do if you would comply with the specified conditions, if you would break your hearts before God. But you did not do your part, and therefore the Lord could not work for you as he desired to work. I feel an intense burden for the work here in the vicinity of Oakland. Two or three nights ago, I seemed to be addressing our people in Oakland and Berkeley. I have some things here today that I will read to you, and this is only a portion of what I might say. This letter contains some instruction that was given at the San Jose camp meeting in 1905, but it is of importance to our people in the Berkeley Church. LT 48, 1907 was then read to the end of page 7. There is more that I might read, but I will leave it to be read to you. There are some things I wish to say. My dear brethren and sisters, what are we here for? We are here like little children, to learn lessons from the great teacher. We are here to teach others. Ye are the light of the world, said the Savior. Matthew 5, verse 14. We are to let our light shine before others. We should feel an interest for every soul that has not accepted the truth. We may take an interest in working for our neighbors. We need not secure a license before we can speak the truth to them in love or pray with them. What can we say in the day of judgment if this work has been neglected and, though we have known the truth, we have allowed souls, without warning, to perish in their sins? Christ says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18-20. Here is your commission. How will you account to Christ for your course? If instead of laboring to save your fellow men, you have poured into their ears your troubles and perplexities and even complaints against your brethren. You may often find relief from your troubles if you will speak to others of Christ and talk to them about the precious truth. But do not speak words that are prompted by jealousy and evil surmising and suspicion. Do not circulate evil reports concerning your brethren. Because of such things, the Lord cannot come into the church as He desires. Will you not clear the king's highway? Not all have had a part in this evil work, but let those who have now come into line. God desires that the work that was begun here in Berkeley should extend to many places. God had worked upon many hearts to prepare them to receive the truth, and persons were needed here who understood the truth and to whom the Lord could give power of access to the people. When it was proposed that the work of Brother and Sister Rice in Berkeley should be broken up, I said, "Who is fitted to take up the work and to carry it as it should be carried with an intense interest? Are these laborers to be robbed of all their influence? The Lord forbid that I should in any way lend my influence to uproot Brother and Sister Rice from Berkeley and send them to Santa Cruz or to any other place. You have heard me, as I have stood before you in the tent, speak of those who were finding fault and who were taking a course to injure the influence of some who were finding access to souls. I related to you what was presented to me in the night season, how, as our people were leaving the tent, there was lifted before them a standard that seemed to be a looking glass. As one and another looked in it, they saw a true representation of their own character. Those who had been so talkative, who had labored to tear down God's workers, were filled with an agony of mind that is indescribable. They prostrated themselves on the ground and pleaded for God to have compassion on them and to blot out their transgressions. As I beheld the scene, I was filled with such distress of mind that I awoke. I found myself walking the room, wringing my hands, and in an agony of soul. There are men who would be capable men if they would be humble. They might help and strengthen one another. They know the truth, but they cannot exert a saving influence because they have to practice Bible truth. The angels of God cannot work with them to impress hearts. When there are those who can find access to hearts, do give them a chance. What will you, who have been so indifferent, bring to the Master at last? Love one another, he says, as I have loved you. John 13, verse 34. He left the royal courts. He might have brought with him legions of angels, but he did not. He took upon himself humanity, that he might touch humanity, and that humanity might lay hold upon divine power to carry out the work of God. The judgment is nearer than you have any idea of. I have laid these matters before you again and again, and have hoped that you might allow the Lord to work upon your hearts. But the change has not come. Unless some of you are converted, you will soon be separated from the people of God. Christ has said, "Ye are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. Where shall His light be found if not among those who love God and keep His commandments? If you keep His commandments in truth, the light will shine forth through Oakland, through Berkeley, and through all these neighboring cities. Ye are the light of the world. And then He says further, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Verse 16. It is the good works that are needed. We need the power to lay hold of divinity, a power that will never fail us so long as we keep our hold upon it. That power makes us a partaker of the divine nature and enables us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Let us now come humbly before God, confessing our sins, and let us by faith take hold of the divine nature. Then the angels of God will come into our midst. There are two powers at work in our world. One is the power of Satan. He seeks to stir up our minds to lead us to disobey God. Then there is the power of Christ. He clothed His divinity with humanity, that we in our humanity might obtain strength from His divinity. He is the saving power of the world. We want to be kept by the power of God through Christ unto salvation. These cities must be worked, San Francisco and Oakland and the cities about the bay must be warned. And I beg of you not to injure yourselves by working against those that are trying to do the very best they can to save souls. It is not everyone who knows how to reach souls, but all who sustain the hands of those who can labor are acceptable.
Brethren and sisters, isn't it time that we were awake? The judgments of God are falling upon the earth. The wickedness of the wicked is increasing to an alarming extent. Should we not lay hold of the righteousness of Christ and hold him up before the people? May God help us to work intelligently. To each one I bear a message today. Humble your soul before God, confess your sins, or someday, as was represented by the standard raised before the people, you will stand before God with a record of sins unconfessed and unforgiven. Oh, how I have longed that this people would seek the Lord with all their hearts. But the word of the Lord has come to me. Pride is ruining them. Satan has hold of their souls, and in their pride and self-esteem, they will not come to me to humble themselves before me. How long must these testimonies be borne? Why do not individuals act their part? The enemy is working among our people to get up first one thing and then another, to absorb the minds and draw people away from the truth. Wake up, brethren. Wake up for Christ's sake. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. He will hear your prayers. He will answer your petitions. But do not grieve the heart of my Savior any longer by standing where you are at this time, when his judgments are being poured right upon the world for their wickedness. We are living in the days of which it is said, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17, verse 26. Let us now seek the Lord with all our hearts and humble ourselves before him, so that he can bless us. He can use us if we are humble. He can use us if we are his obedient children. But if we will not be ordered and guided and directed by him, he cannot work through us. Then the enemy will work through us. May God help us that the light that is within us may not become darkness, that we may be the light of the world, a light shining amid its moral darkness. We have no liberty to depart from the Word of God. May God help us to humble ourselves. Elder Haskell, Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts. He wants to help us. Shall we let him help us? Now, if we will be free before God and open our hearts, Christ will come in. There is a divine reality to the Christian religion, and there is a power in it to transform the character and to connect us with heaven. May the Lord grant his blessing, and each one of us be free. Now there is an opportunity for anyone that wishes to bear testimony. Brother Steele, I will say, brethren and sisters, I have longed for this meeting for quite a long time. I am glad that it has come, and I hope that the Spirit of God will lead in all that is done. I have consecrated my life to the Master. For years my work has been to get the light and truth before those that were in darkness. That has been my labor, carrying the light of truth from house to house, and getting people to read and know the way of life. The salvation of souls is the dearest thing on earth to me. I rejoice in this work, and personally, I am looking after it as best I know. And with Paul, I can say, I can add a little to it and say I am the chief of the chief sinners. That means a little more. But Christ can save even that. I thank God today for the hope that I enjoy in my soul personally. I am glad that I love my brethren and love the sinners, because I am sorry for them. I love all that are in error or wrong, and I can pray for them. I hope that a good many things that have appeared to be brought before us today, that there may be some things that you may look at that will prove to be not so. I hope this is so. I find that Satan likes to have us imagine many things and injures us in that way. If we would only rely on the Word of God alone, search it for ourselves personally, walk in the light of his word, we would not have any trouble much with anybody. The knowledge that is from heaven is first pure, then peaceable. That is the kind of knowledge that I ask for. I have known with regard to brother and sister Rice. I have loved them much. But there are some things that have sprung up in the church that it seems some could not look over. If we suffer sin upon our brethren, what does it say? See Leviticus 19, verse 17. The question is, would we not be guilty? Now, if Brother Steele has been sinning personally, come to me, and I will try to make it right. If there is a soul here, or anywhere, that has got anything against me, I wish they would come to me, and I am sure that we could settle it very easily. Let us come on higher ground. Let us get the King's Highway cleared in Berkeley. Souls are at stake all around us. May the Lord help us to get right before Him today. I want to be a better man. Oh, that I could be more like my Savior is the anxiety of my heart. Pray for me, that I may be a better man than I ever have.
W.C. White. I thank the Lord with a full heart for the presence of His Holy Spirit here today. It seems to me that if we look at the work of God as David looked at it, we will see that we have sinned against Him. David had sinned against men, but when he saw the influence that this had had upon the cause of God, he lost sight of everything else in the thought of his sin against God. And I want to confess my sin here today. When I knew of the perplexities you were suffering here, when I heard the criticism and the complaints, I joined in urging Brother and Sister Rice that they should drop the work here and go somewhere else, anything for peace. When I thought of the burden that Mother was carrying, all the burden for the work in the world's great centers, I have regretted and I have felt rebellious, because her energy and her time and her strength must be devoted to what seemed a local interest. But God, who sees the end from the beginning, knew that the earthquake was coming, and He knew of the work they might do at a time when the minds of men were looking for a true explanation of these judgments. Brother Hughes. Brethren and sisters, this meeting is worth thousands of dollars to me today. Speaks of his experience since the earthquake, during which time he had been working on the Sabbath, had now made up his mind to return to God, and ask the members of the church to forgive him and receive him back. Spoke of Brother and Sister Rice as dear friends, as the ones through whom the truth had been brought to his wife, and felt that their prayers had been a power to lead him to return. Rice. I am thankful to be with you here today, thankful for the message. There is but one purpose in my life and in my heart, and that is to finish, as the Apostle says, my course with joy and the ministry that God has committed to me. When I ministered to the Berkeley Church, this was my purpose. I love the brethren. I have appreciated something of the importance of the work in this center. I have deplored that which has cut us off from carrying out the work that we felt ought to be done here. This has grieved my heart more than anything else. It is not anything of a personal nature. It is not for myself. By the grace of God, He lifts me above this. I am conscious, as the testimony has stated here today, that I am not without fault, but whom I serve knows that I have sought to serve Him faithfully. I want to say, dear brethren and sisters here today, that this is still the purpose of my heart and my life, to do the work that the Master has for me to do. And I want to say with reference to accusations that have been made against us, I am responsible to God for my every act. I am not responsible to man. And as far as I see and know that I have made mistakes, I shall right it with the Lord. That is the position that I occupy. I may have done that, and I have done that which my brethren think is not in harmony with the Word of God. And while I allow my brethren to think that of me if they will, I claim the same right to think for myself. I am a man, and I have my calling to this ministry of the gospel, to fill that ministry according to my best understanding. I may differ to my brethren in the church in regard to some things, but I trust and I hope, by the grace of Christ and by the help that He is ready to give to every one of us, that we shall all see eye to eye in everything. In the meantime, brethren, we can afford to be large-hearted and charitable one with another. If you think that I have made mistakes, I may think that you have made mistakes, and thus the matter stands. And I can only say today again that, as the Apostle Paul, I have lived with a conscience void of offense before God, and the Berkeley Church, and my fellow men,
and my own conscience was clear in this matter. I am conscious, truly I am conscious, and have been conscious of wrong, that I am faulty before God. But I know that my Savior is perfect, and I know that His precious righteousness covers my imperfections. I know that I am not altogether right. I see new beauties in my Lord, and I know that He is altogether light, and that He will lighten all my darkness and show me all the way. If you are right in some things, and I am wrong, bear with me. The Master will show it when He sees fit. I will walk in the light, brethren. Perchance I am right, and you are wrong. We shall continue to pray that God will lighten your eyes, that you may see some things more clearly. You may have some occasion. Probably we have given occasion. We would not say that our faults have not been manifest to others as well as to ourselves in some things. But I am sorry that the enemy has taken advantage of this and has stirred up the opposition that he has and has hindered us in the work to which God has called us for the people of this place. I am sorry that we have given any occasion, whether justly or unjustly.
Brethren and sisters, I want your prayers that God will help me, that those things that are false with me may not be manifest, that God will give me overcoming grace. For I am purposed to do His work. I only regret that these things have come in to entangle me and have hindered my work. I regret that I have allowed these things to depress my spirits to that degree that I have not always risen above them and pressed the battle a little harder than we might have done it in other ways. But the Lord knows all about that. Brother Giddings then made some remarks. He expressed his belief in the testimonies and would accept them, even though he could not yet see all things clearly. He could not see how they should accept one who acknowledged his mistakes, but who would not acknowledge that they were wrong. Sister White then offered prayer. My Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at this time, needy and dependent upon Thee. We pray that Thou wouldst clear away, by the operation of Thy Holy Spirit upon human hearts, all the rubbish that has been coming in to hinder the work of God, which ought to have advanced so much. O God, we pray that Thou wouldst work upon human minds, and open the eyes, that they may see where they themselves have made mistakes. I ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst work. Thou knowest all about it, and when we shall come up to the judgment, shall it be with Thy people, that their sins will come there unconfessed, and therefore they can have no part with Thee in Thy kingdom? Lord, save Thy people, I pray Thee. Break human hearts. May their hearts be broken before Thee, and may there be a time now, just now, without waiting for any future period, when they will clear the King's highway, when they will put away from their hearts the things which they have entertained which have hindered the work of God from going in Berkeley, in Oakland, and in the suburbs. O Lord, Thou hast given Thine own precious life to buy these souls. Thou hast bought them with the price of Thine own blood. Thou didst hang in agony upon the cross of Calvary in order to pay the debt of their transgression, and now, Lord, we do not want that one shall be lost. We want that the melting power of God, the softening influence of the Holy Spirit, shall come into our midst to clear away everything that would hinder the true light from shining forth unto the people at this present time. We believe Thou art soon to come in the clouds of heaven, and that then every one shall receive according as his works have been. O, let every soul be humbled before Thee. May there be a breaking away from the powers of darkness. We have had meeting after meeting, but Satan has held minds, and they are just where they were before. O God, break this spell. Break it, I beseech of Thee, break it. Let Thy stately steppings be felt here. And I ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldest make clear to human minds just what they have done to hinder the Spirit of God from taking possession of mind and heart. O God, clear it away. May there be a break here in this meeting. How long shall this go on in this way? Help the people, that they may fall on the rock and be broken, lest the rock should fall on them. O God, Thou seest the value of the human soul. Thou didst give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is everlasting life that we desire every soul here to have. May self die right here. Here today may there be the agonizing of the death struggle. May self be broken, and may Jesus Christ take possession of the human heart. How long shall we tamper with the enemy? How long shall we let him tamper with us?
O Lord, speak, and let thy Holy Spirit go through this congregation, from heart to heart. Let the break be so complete that it shall remain broken, that Christ may come in to heal every difficulty, every wound, and that there may be a pressing of shoulder to shoulder and of heart to heart. Let the confessions come from human lips that ought to come. O Lord, I ask Thee that while there is a seeking after God and the truth, there shall not be those who stand to hinder the progress of Thy Spirit. O let Thine angels walk through our midst. And we pray that the rebuke of God may be upon Satan and his working. Sweep back the mists of darkness. Sweep back the things that have been building up here for months and years. Sweep them back, and give us access to the people who are inquiring for the way of eternal life. Thou hast presented to me that an interest has been awakened. Many souls are trembling on the very verge, and they want to have help to plant their feet upon the Rock of Ages. O my Father, leave not these people in darkness and unbelief.
O quicken the sensibilities of thy people, and let it be known that there is a God in Israel. Soften the hard hearts, and O God, we do pray that there may be confessions made here that we have not yet heard, that souls may stand up here and break away from the powers of darkness. Let thy Spirit take hold upon the souls and hearts, and clear the king's highway. My Father, break this spell of the enemy. Let the subduing grace of Christ come into human hearts. Let the heart break before thee. Let self die. May there be the dying struggles of self right here in this meeting. How many meetings, O God, have we had, hoping and praying and trying to believe that the break would come, and it has not yet come. Lord, help us now to make clean work for eternity. We know that there are souls here whom thou dost want to break the spell. Help them to do it. We commit them to thee, Lord. O walk through our midst, I pray thee, thou pitying Redeemer, and let thy life and thy power come to pardon transgressions, to say, thy sins are pardoned. Go in peace and sin no more. Brother Steele, I would like to understand the object of this meeting. Is it to reinstate Brother and Sister Rice in the Berkeley Church? Is that the object of the meeting? I would also like to know another thing. As long as Brother Rice is not in harmony with the conference and with the leading brethren, how could the Berkeley Church receive him back, being out of harmony with the leading brethren? I would like to know if it is required of us. Is that the object of the meeting, to take back Brother and Sister Rice when they are not in harmony with the conference and with the leading brethren? As far as personality is concerned, I guess everything is right with the Berkeley Church. And if we are standing in the way of the cause of God, the Berkeley Church had better move out of the way and let Brother and Sister Rice take possession, if they are going to stand in the way. I do not want to stand in the way of God and His work at all. I would sell out and leave Berkeley in the next week, if God presents that I am in His way. Do you want me to accept Brother Rice's position against the conference and the leading brethren, or do you want me to stand with them? Elder Haskell, I did not know that he was not in harmony with the brethren of the conference. If this is true, this is the first I had heard of it. W.C. White expressed his mind that the testimony clearly stated the object of the meeting, that those whose hearts were not right might have opportunity to stand right with God and before their brethren, that the question of reinstating Brother and Sister Rice in the Berkeley Church was not the main point at issue, but that would settle itself satisfactorily when everything was cleared away. E.G. White, has God been honored in the attempt that has been made to break up, by strife of tongues, the work that His servants were doing in Berkeley? Envy, jealousy, and evil surmising have with some been growing to vast proportions. If all the meetings that have been held and all the testimonies that God has given have not made impression enough upon the hearts of these individuals to enable them to see that they have made serious mistakes in their course of action, I greatly fear that they will become spiritually blind unless they humble their hearts before God. Their plain duty now is to get their own souls right before God, for they have had no reason for their bitter feelings. The converting power of God needs to come upon hearts here. I am so surprised that any can fail to understand the workings of the Spirit of God. God wants a break to be made right here.
Let those who have been an opposing force to God's work confess their wrongs. It is a terrible wrong. You have been striking against God's ministers, through whom He is working to convert souls. And you have been striking against the hand of Christ, whose property they are. There may now be a slight change for the better, but unless you are thoroughly converted and your souls are changed, you will go on as you have gone before. Christ wants us to learn of Him. "Come unto me," He says, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Let the work of conversion begin with those who are supposed to be laboring for souls. They need the converting power of God upon their minds. And those who talk so much, let them take their Bibles and go to their neighbors and speak to them about the truth. Let them never again feel it their duty to heap reproach upon the ministry. God has instructed me to stand as a wall against those who are tearing down the work of His servants. I have been instructed to say to them that God rebukes them. This I have tried to do in a general manner. I have stated the principles before the people. The last time I spoke to the people in the church in Oakland, the power of God rested upon me, and I hoped that there would be a break, but the break did not come, and the very same spirit has continued to be exercised. I do not know how long God will bear with such a course and suffer His work to be hindered. Shall the break come now, or shall we continue to go on as in the past? We have had meeting after meeting. I have borne testimony after testimony right to the point, but I have not called the names to whom I referred. I have not considered that my duty. I have felt that if these individuals were so dull of comprehension that they could not understand unless their names were called, it would do them no good. If they have sensitive consciences, they can see how much they have hindered and brought reproach upon the cause of God. Under the labors of Brother and Sister Rice, souls were being brought to a knowledge of the truth from the higher classes. Then the enemy began to work to cast a reproach upon these workers, and to give the impression that Elder Rice and his wife were not worthy of church fellowship. Now God was not in such work. And those who have by false statements, by envy, jealousy, and evil surmisings oppressed God's workers, why do they not humble their hearts before God? They have been on the wrong side. Let them now stand on the right side. They can talk fast enough when they are heaping reproach upon God's servants. Is it not time that a change took place? God grant that His Spirit may take hold of the mischief makers, and instead of having liberty to go out as missionaries, let them be converted. They do not know by experience what true conversion is. If things continue without a change, we shall soon be in a place where we shall not know who is on the Lord's side, or who is on the side of the enemy. We want the Lord to work. We want to see something done. We have had these troubles for years. How many more years will God bear with His church? Evidence after evidence is given, and yet the same spirit of criticism exists. How long is it to continue? In the name of the Lord, I ask you to remove the stumbling blocks, to clear the King's highway, that the salvation of God may go forth as a lamp that burneth. Who will now take their position that there has been light enough given to show that Elder Rice and his wife have been working on the Lord's side? By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. Who will testify that God has accepted their labors, and that souls have been brought into the truth by these, God's missionaries? Even in the midst of all this counterworking and strife of tongues, Brother Rice has baptized new converts. Who will venture to say that Elder Rice and his wife are unworthy to occupy a place in God's work? You have seen the labor, the souls brought into the truth and baptized. Will you say that they shall not continue their labor? If not, why not settle the matter today and let all take their stand that they will sustain God's servants whom He has been using in the highways and the byways? Brother Steele, I am not going to, unless an individual confesses the wrong, says it is wrong, and will stop it, then we can forgive it. But I cannot. My soul will be lost before I can say that a brother who is wrong, and who acknowledges he has done wrong, is right in refusing to confess it. I cannot, and I am not going to,
act the hypocrite. I love the truth. I speak the truth with my neighbor as I understand it, but I do not intend to go to talebearing with my neighbor or to injure people. If you ask me a question, however, I shall answer it to the best of my ability. I cannot accept a person who has done a wrong and yet will not acknowledge that it is wrong. E. G. White. I want all to understand that I have not heard that which has been said today, but I want to add a few words. In the night season, I seemed to be in a meeting where many were speaking words of accusation against Brother and Sister Rice. One of dignity stood up and asked, "Who was it that made room and put themselves to inconvenience to care for the homeless after the disaster in San Francisco? Where were those who would take them and care for them? Who took a special burden to help the needy? By their works ye shall know them."
Brother and Sister Rice have not turned the needy from their doors. They have helped them. They have been among the foremost to relieve those in distress. They have ever held themselves ready to help those who were interested in the truth. Night after night, they have been holding Bible readings, and at any time that they might be called, they were ready. Now God approves of such things. By their works ye shall know them. We cannot allow these workers to stand under suspicion and reproach. Who will not pledge themselves to take their position to stand by Elder Rice and his wife? Who will recognize by their works that God is using them? And God gives them credit for the labor of love, and why should any refuse to recognize them? When there is sickness, when others are brought into strait places, and they have not known what to do or where to go for a home, Brother and Sister Rice have brought them right to their house and have cared for them just as many others ought to have done, but who did not do it. I shall, in the name of the Lord, take my position that they should be recognized and honored for what they have done. I feel that this is only justice. A few present then spoke, taking the position that they did not understand all things clearly, but that they had confidence enough in the testimonies to take their position in harmony with what they had heard. Nearly all, by rising to their feet in response to a question by Elder Haskell, signified that they would accept the testimony and act on it. Meeting was then appointed to continue the subject the following afternoon at 2:30.